It's time to speak out on the original Speak Out Radio Show. Speak Out is a public affairs program that serves you, our listeners, and the community you live in. Speak Out is all about listener participation. So call in anytime during the show. 928-854-5687. That's 854-5687. Speak Out on KNTR Talk is heard on one frequency, 106.3 throughout the tri-state area. You can also listen to KNTRTalk.com and listen anywhere through the TuneIn Radio app. From elected officials, community leaders, small business owners, school district representatives, and charitable causes, Speak Out is here for you on KNTR Talk 106.3. It's time to introduce you to the host of Speak Out. When legendary drummer Keith Moon was MIA, who did the Who turn to?
Yo, Paulie!
When the great Pele asked for a sub, who did his World Cup team turn to?
Yo, Paulie!
Now this world-renowned musician slash athlete has settled behind the microphone once again for your benefit. Ladies and gentlemen, the one and only, I mean, could you imagine a twin? Paul Lavoie.
And welcome to Speak Out. I am Paul Lavoie. And today, you won't believe this, Brian. I got the year wrong yesterday. I was listening back on the archive.
2020?
I said Wednesday, March 10th, which is my brother's birthday, by the way. I even missed that. And then I said 2020. You know why?
Why?
I pulled a, who's the guy on Anchorman? What was his name? Ron Burgundy?
Yes.
Because I wrote it down that way.
It's true.
It was in the teleprompter. Yes. Anyway, welcome to Sound Advice with Brian Springberg. I'm Paul Lavoie, and should have a good show today. We haven't even picked the music, so.
Yeah, we're going to get that. I'll get it figured in between.
I'm going to go random.
Thoughts. Oh, okay.
I'm just going to go random. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to talk about ASU. I know you're a U of A guy.
Yes.
But ASU is the eighth-ranked team in the Pac-12 tournament. They're literally the bottom team in
right.
the tournament.
Yeah.
Right? I think there's only 8 out of 12 that go.
Okay.
They won yesterday. They scored 6 points in the last 11 seconds to win by 1.
Unbelievable.
Remy Martin was just on. It was a comedy of
it's
errors.
College basketball is one of the most exciting things on television during the tournament season.
It was a comedy of errors between them and Washington State at the end. Mm. And the first half, the score was only 25-24.
Oh, God.
Yeah, so they advanced to play today. They'll be on the sports station, 12 o'clock pregame and 12:30 tip-off from the Pac-12 tourney in Las Vegas. That's ASU. Did I say who they're playing?
No. Oregon. Who would that be? Oh, good luck with that.
Yikes. Yeah, number one, Oregon. At least number one in the Pac-12. Indiana at Rutgers. Big Ten tournament action at 4:15. And the Phoenix Suns at Golden State tonight at 8 p.m. That's on 980 a.m., of course, in Lake Havasu City. 94.3 in Havasu and Kingman, and 100.5 in Bullhead City. And today, special show for Speak Out 2.0. Larry's kind of on the road today. He's in Bullhead City. He's at the Anderson Auto Group Fieldhouse instead of in Laughlin at the Laughlin Outlet Center. They're having a big winter business expo at the Anderson Fieldhouse.
Okay.
Larry's doing that show by remote. So because of that, I'm going to do a little babysitting here in the studio with the equipment and his connection and that sort of thing. And I'm going to miss Kiwanis, so I'll have to pay
sacrifice.
Up. I'll have to pay up next week, right?
Yep.
All right. So anyway, Brian Springberg is here. He's a certified financial planner for Springberg McAndrew Financial Services here in Lake Havasu City.
Mm.
And what's going on today?
Lots of market is up huge yesterday, today again. Dow setting records yesterday and then again today, currently up about 1%. Currently the Dow sitting at 32,600 or so. S&P 500 up 1.5%. The NASDAQ up almost 3% again. So we have seen just huge movements to the upside after some paring of some gains from early in the year. We actually were starting to get closer to even for the year before really the last several days. And that's predominantly because a scare in bonds caused the stock market to have some concerns. So what that means is that
Where did that originate?
So what happens is that the yields on bonds started to rise. And so when that happens, then that usually is seen as a sign that interest rates and inflation could be on the way. And the fear is that the market and the economy might overheat on the back half of this year. In other words, as you've heard me say on the show plenty of times, the market was worried about too much good news. You know, things were going to be too good, and inevitably that would cause certain things to occur that would cause the market to cool down considerably. Well, those bond yields came back down, and so that kind of green-lighted the recovery. And so now that basically Wall Street and the economy is noticing vaccinations are in earnest taking place on a huge level across the country, equating to the economy opening up more and more. Let's face it, we all have COVID-free fever. You can just feel it in the air. everybody's going to lose their mind this summer and just party like they haven't been able to get out of the house in a year and a half, which is kind of the case.
Did you hear the news out of Texas?
Just
broke today about the Rangers. Rangers are going full capacity.
Yeah.
If you want to come into the ballpark, bring a mask.
Yeah.
And you can take it off when you're eating your peanuts, popcorn, and Cracker Jack.
I don't know.
If you don't like it, don't go to the game.
Exactly. It's not as easy as that if you're a healthcare worker or those people don't have insurance and go into the hospital and that causes your taxes and your insurance premiums to go up. I always try to tell you, it's never as easy as just, I don't want to wear a mask or it's not going to, what I want to do. But I get it because let's face it, it seems to be lessening because more people have had it and that there's more people vaccinated. So it's like we're so close. Can't you just wait another month?
Isn't that better than proof of vaccination to get into the ballpark? I mean, at least they didn't go that far. You know what I mean?
No.
You don't think so?
No.
So you're okay with that?
Yeah.
No, I'm just, that's to me a HIPAA violation, so no. Absolutely not.
All right. Well, that's private.
Private
information. Baseball team is a private entity that can
They can do that. Right. I'm just saying. Yeah. I don't know if it is a HIPAA violation, but that's my personal information if I'm vaccinated, and
so
you don't need to know.
Did you take that same stand when you weren't allowed to go to public school because you didn't have, your smallpox vaccination?
Dude, I was
and stuff?
4 years old.
That's my point, is that your point is a ridiculous point.
But no, now you can actually get into public school without vaccinations.
Ugh.
So at least in California you can. You heard about the measles outbreaks, right?
No.
Anyway, oh, come on. That was like 2-3 years. Running now, they've had and the same measles, outbreaks at Disneyland. So anyway, I digress. Go ahead with what you were getting at.
Yeah, no, I was just going to bring into a whole measles diatribe like you and just, no, I'm just kidding. So at any rate, we see the market having a lot of confidence in, the upcoming recovery, and the main concern at this point is too much, too fast, too good. And so that is what recently weighed on things. In fact, as of March 28th, as far as, American employers go, according to the Department of Labor, most employers had hired about 67% of the jobs that were lost last year during a couple of months, March, that were lost during March and April of last year. And so we haven't gotten there yet, but obviously 2/3 of those jobs have started coming back this year, which again is part of the reason why I think, and reasonably so, there's question marks that were placed before the American Rescue Plan Act of 2021. It was actually kind of cool to see the more moderate members of the Democratic Party put limitations on some of the benefits of the original plan before they were going to get it through and eventually passed. You know, in other words, they to be eligible for the $1,400 payment, they not because of any Republican, because they voted against it and would no matter what, of course, the state of American politics, but because of the more moderate Democrats, they said, hey, listen, no, if you're not 200,000 threshold where you'd get it, it was reduced to 160. And even then, you know, let's face it, some of us got to question that. Of course, some people did need it, but at some point too, it's a fine line to walk, right? Because you don't want Americans to suffer. A lot of people do need it. A lot of restaurants, a lot of businesses do need the help. But at what point is too much too much? Really neither party is in a place to take the high road relative to spending money we don't have, as both have done a tremendous job of doing that for many, many years now, just in their own specific ways. Bonds, keeping with that same theme, Warren Buffett in his annual letter released just like a week and a half ago to his investors said that the recent rise in yield on the 10-year Treasury note, bonds are in a tough place these days. So I'll give you an example. So I have a client who actually he's a 401k client and called me and said, hey, this was against my recommendation. but he moved everything out of the stock market, worried about politics in early November, which has cost him probably 20%, and into bonds, which as interest rates go up, the price of bonds goes down. So he's not down much, but he's probably down 3% or something like that in the bond portfolio, while stocks have done obviously well so far. Now, different risk profile, totally different portfolio. But now, of course, his question is, hey, what do I do? I want, get back in. And now that's a difficult proposition, right? Mm-hmm. Because I get bonds are a concern. He is right, wondering about that. The second thing, though, is getting into the U.S. market 20% higher or what have you than where it was when he got out. There's a lot of risk now in doing that. Not to say that it couldn't continue to go up and he's not going to be fine, but definitely opens himself up for some risk on the downside by buying in at a higher level. And so so there are a couple of strategies that I'm going to propose to him, in terms of diversification, and give him some ideas of how he may want to approach that scenario. But that is the danger that you face if you're a long-term investor and you try to time getting out, because that's always the easy part. Getting back in is the difficult part, because now you're scratching your head. Where do I go? Do I stay where I'm at and, see, slightly negative returns in what I'm doing because of the decision I made? Or do I rotate into other sectors, understanding that there's a lot more risk by doing so? And if there is a correction, I'm opening myself up to that. You're seeing a pretty big rotation, too, happening internationally because of the run-up that we've seen in U.S. stocks. A lot of advisors are recommending people consider looking internationally, both in developed and emerging markets. Now, there are different risk tolerances when you do that, because there are currency risks, meaning that depending upon the dollar strengthening or weakening, that can actually affect your net return from an international investment when they get converted. Those returns get converted back into the U.S. dollar. You got to be careful about a strong U.S. dollar eating into those returns, which can definitely and actually did happen just several years ago. But you also have to look at the bigger picture. We haven't seen near as big a run up in international and emerging market stocks in the last decade as we have in the U.S. Certainly was a good year last year, especially for emerging markets. But they have not had that huge run-up that we've seen here in the United States. And so looking at your portfolio and wondering, what do I do? How do I diversify? Some of my numbers are huge with, say, a U.S. technology portfolio or growth portfolio. Then you definitely got to start thinking in those terms of, how do I diversify? Where does it make sense relative to my time frame and my risk tolerance, and what's available out there? But there are definitely a lot of advisors and analysts kind of looking into continuing to focus into India, China, emerging markets, as well as the United Kingdom and France and Europe, where you just haven't seen a tremendous amount of upside, at least comparatively to what we've seen here in the United States. We're going to go to our first break of the hour here on Sound Advice and Speak Out. If you got anything on your mind relative to your investment portfolio, your financial plan, give a shout. Happy to answer any questions that I can.
I'm going to surprise you on this one, Brian.
Okay.
I just saw a documentary on HBO about the Bee Gees. It was unbelievably, I'm not even a Bee Gees fan, unbelievably fantastic.
Cool.
It was amazing. So I'm going to feature the Bee Gees today.
Jive talking?
Well, that's one of them. You should see how they wrote this song. The oldest, I think that's Robin? Barry?
It might have been Barry.
Barry.
Yeah.
He got the tune in his head after they were running over the same bridge. They had the rickety, 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 click, 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 click. It had this beat as they were driving to the recording studio in Miami over one of those causeways. So, yeah, he got the song in his head just as they were driving. So wild.
Well, let's crank it up.
Unbelievably creative. All right, don't forget about the time change coming up this weekend. That means Larry Tuneforce is going to move back to 10 o'clock for Speak Out 2.0. And you'll have Brian Kilmeade at 6 a.m., of course, Prager at 9, Sean Hannity at noon, and Mark Levin at 3 o'clock. So all those shows will move back 1 hour as California and Nevada spring forward. Don't even ask me how it works. That's just how it is. It is what it is. All right. Back with more in a moment. We're all going to be on the same time, Brian.
Sweet. I can't wait to be on the same time. I've got to think about it.
I'm Paul Lavoie. Stay with us. We'll be right back. We're back on Speak Out. Brian doing the disco dancing over there on the other side of the room. Looking like John Travolta, man.
I didn't think I still could pull off the splits, but wow, look at this.
You're getting it right.
I'm impressed.
Speak Out and Sound Advice by Brian Springberg. Brought to you by Mojave Mortgage. I'm still getting that image out of my head.
Sorry.
I'm sorry. Bradley Chevrolet and Bradley Ford. GDK CPA LLC. Horizon Community Bank. Patio Paradise, Connected Computer and Technology, and of course, Springberg McAndrew Financial Services. And man, I'm telling you, Brian, if you have a chance to watch that Bee Gees documentary on HBO, it is a must-see. I think it's called How Deep Is Your Love? I can't remember. But Barry's the only one still alive.
Are you sure that's what they were watching when you watched that title?
Stop it.
Sorry.
Yes, absolutely. No, it was really, really good. They were teenagers when they started in Australia.
In Australia, yeah.
That was wild.
You know what I watched was the big interview. I love that with Dan Rather. Mm-hmm. He's always interviewing musicians and bands.
So on Axis.
On Axis TV, which I love because it's all kinds of concert footage and cool interviews and stuff. And how they made a specific album, and then they'll bring somebody back, a band back, from 30, 40 years ago, mm-hmm. when we were making this album, classic albums, amazing albums.
Right on.
But Heart was on last night.
Oh,
so
okay.
Both the sisters. And so just amazing, musical family. And so
Did they get into the Jenny Craig thing or not? No, I'm kidding.
They did ask about you know.
Really?
Yeah, about.
I think she had that surgery.
Struggle with weight that. But it was just interesting because, you know, they were legit rock and roll. I mean, they wrote all their lyrics.
Yeah.
Amazing guitar player. You know.
They date back to the early 70s at California Jam. You know,
California Jam.
That is an old band, that's for sure. So if they're not in the Hall of Fame, they should be.
They are.
All right, good.
Yep. So, but again, we digress.
Always.
So what can you still do for your 2020 taxes? Have you filed yet, Paul?
I have not, but not because of laziness. I was waiting for a 1099, and I am waiting no more. So
you're ready to go.
Yes.
So before you file, if you're still looking to figure out some ways to maybe reduce some tax liability, you can still fund, if you're eligible, your traditional or Roth IRAs. And by eligible, I mean there are some income threshold amounts that if you make above, you cannot do a Roth IRA, which, of course, is a non-deductible but tax-free growth IRA. As long as you wait 5 years or age 59 and a half, whichever's longer. A traditional IRA where you do get the deduction now, pay taxes on it later when you pull it out after 59 and a half, again, to avoid the 10% penalty. $6,000 if you're under 50, $7,000 max if you're 50 or over, and you have earned income or your spouse has earned income. But there's some caveats if you or your spouse are eligible for an employer 401k, depending upon how much you make, your ability to fund that. So you definitely want to touch base with your tax professional or your financial planner before you do it. But if you're eligible, you know, that is a tremendous benefit. If somebody puts $7,000 into their traditional IRA and can deduct it, and their federal and state, you know, taxes, you know, are 20%, well, there's a $1,400 savings just in that quick example. And so putting away $7,000 cost you $5,600 actually. And then, of course, it's invested in some shape or form for your future retirement income or whatever purpose behind it. In that same way, you can also contribute to your HSA, health savings account, for 2020. If you want. And so if you have a high deductible plan type of a thing and you want to put money into like a side account, that's what an HSA is. And that side account is what you can pull money out of without, you know, worrying about meeting a deductible. And you can do a decent amount. Single, you can do up to $3,550, and if you're over 55, another $1,000 on top of that. And if you're family, then it's up to $7,100 plus $1,000 if the HSA owner is 55 or older, and you can still make those contributions again up until you file April 15th. And so there's still a couple of things if you've got some excess cash reserves to put away that can help you with some of your tax planning.
So this is going off script just a little bit, but it is healthcare related. With the new stimulus package that's out, there's a lot of help for people with American, you know, who have the Affordable Care Act, the unemployed, and that sort of thing with health insurance. Is there going to be any relief for employers that provide health insurance? Do you know?
So, you know, there's no... You know, they did add and extend more money for the PPP program again. And so when you actually fill out that form as an employer, one of the expenses that is included that you can use to get that, you know, potential, you know, tax-free and not having to pay it back, you know, grant essentially, is the cost you laid out for employee benefits, including healthcare.
Oh, nice.
So it's actually part of that equation, if you want or need to use it.
But do you have to be struggling to file for that?
Well, in the revamped version, they actually made the requirements a little bit more, sensible. I mean, difficult is one word to me, sensible. They made it way too easy last year, in my opinion. But
well, it was reactionary. You know, they were reacting to a pandemic.
You had to get it done fast. Right. And you knew, it's not like they didn't know they were sending a lot of people money who didn't need it or deserve it, but to get it done to save the other people who really did, you know, I get it. But, you know, obviously in hindsight, you're like, eh.
Unintended circumstances.
What makes sense is now that you have to show a certain amount of loss in revenue quarter over quarter from 1 year to the next to qualify, not just that you didn't fire anybody.
I see.
Net.
Yeah. Right,
which was
basically
the requirement last time. So, so there's a whole chock full of things in that bill that passed, and so a lot of people are going to get a lot of help that they needed, and I think we all recognize, we had $1.9 trillion last year, $1.9 trillion this year, giant tax cuts, not offset by cuts in spending by the government, 3 years ago.
Right.
So the national deficit is just, mind-blowingly, spiraling more and more out of control. In fact, just as a quick anecdote before our next break, the Congressional Budget Office released a 10-year forecast on January 19th of 2016, so just a little bit over 5 years ago, on the projected size of our national debt. Obviously, pandemic was not in the equation. The nonpartisan agency predicted that our national debt, $18.9 trillion as of 1/9/16, would be at $28 trillion by 12/31/25. So 4.5 years plus from now. However, as of last Monday, the national debt had already reached that number with 4.5 years to go.
Right.
So
right.
Something that, of course, will continue to be tossed around like a football by both parties, but actually not addressed in any meaningful way, apparently, anytime soon.
I gotcha.
So, but you know what? In the meantime, though, boy, it sure is making Wall Street happy. So much liquidity being thrown into the market again. And Wall Street isn't thinking, no, what about the national deficit in 20 years? Wall Street's thinking, hooray today. We got to take our next break here on Sound Advice. Be back in just a few minutes.
One of my favorites from the Bee Gees. This has got to get a message to you. I don't know if you remember the concert for apartheid.
Of course, yeah.
But when they did that for Nelson Mandela,
yep.
that was a moment at that show.
Yep.
I'm sorry. Queen may have been a moment, but that
Queen was the big break.
But that was a moment, I'm saying. All right, back with more in a moment. I'm Paul Lavoie. Guess what, folks? I have rodeo tickets. Give
Yeehaw.
Us a call during the break. Got four packs, family four pack. These are worth $60 each pack.
Dang.
$15 a ticket for the 2021 Lake Havasu Stampede PRCA Rodeo. It is Friday, and I have tickets for Friday, and I have tickets for Sunday. And just give us a call at 854-KNTR, 854-5687, and one of those four packs is yours. I'm Paul Lavoie. We'll return in just a moment. Welcome back to Speak Out. Brian's over here in tears, man. That's a great song.
That's a great song.
It's just, talk
Tis.
About a great ballad,
Tis.
You know?
Makes me want to slow dance with my date, like with my arms around her waist, like 2 feet from me, and just kind of rock back and forth as I look up into her eyes because she's 3 inches taller than me. That's what this song reminds me of.
At the skating rink.
At the skating, yeah.
Speak Out, man. I got to do a billboard here. Straighten up. Speak Out brought to you in part by Mojave Community College. Also, Shagru's Family of Restaurants. Better Business Bureau. Sam'sGuns.com. SunPower by Esme Electric. Big Sky Insurance, Herb Zerbs, and by the Lewis team at Coldwell Banker Realty, with over 1,000 homes sold and counting. And counting. So they could have 1,100 by now. We don't know. I'll find out.
Not
next
that many
week
to
from,
sell right
from
now.
Bobby Lewis. Congratulations to Brenda. Brenda from Lake Havasu City won a 4-pack of rodeo tickets to the 2021 Lake Havasu Stampede. She chose Sunday. So I have one Sunday pack left and two Fridays, and that's going to be for upcoming shows. We have someone on the line, Brian.
Okay.
Caller, you're live on Speak Out.
Yes, hi. I was calling to see if I could get rodeo tickets.
You're going to have to wait for another show. I gave away the 4-pack for today.
Okay. I'll still listen to you, though. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. You're lucky. He's loyal.
I was just going to say, see, people, you don't have to give something away to get people's favor.
Is that payola or a bribe?
Well, I think with the quality of this show, it's a bribe.
Okay. Thank you.
Really, who's making out are people with young kids, though, with the new legislation that's coming through. You're talking about a, you know, per child tax credit, going from $2,000 to $3,000. And if you have kids under the age of six, $3,600 per kid. Now, obviously, there are certain income thresholds that you wouldn't qualify for in that example, but there are tremendous benefits, especially for families with kids, kind of built into the bill. You know, they talk about how, you know, they basically, you know, I was looking at different percentages, like 67% of the legislation is going to go to basically middle and lower class Americans is kind of the breakdown. The rest of it more or less to businesses and corporations. The big topic, though, that was kind of rearing its head but got put back on the back burner just to kind of get relief to a lot of people who need it was the minimum wage discussion. And I think that's not going away, and nor should it go away, because – you know, there's so much robust conversation to be had by it, you know, because you can understand that if you're a business and you're trying to get by, even the businesses that the new legislation is trying to help, you know, going to a $15 minimum wage could cause some difficulties. The other side of the coin is that there is just a, you know, decreasing amount of equity for people who are working to just even remotely keep up with the rest of, you know, corporate America on a lot of levels. In other words, the national minimum wage is what, $7.50
for federal,
or yes, something.
It's $7.25, I believe.
$7.25, yeah. Adjusted for inflation, the last time, you know, 12 years ago, it's actually like $6.30 or something, you know, in terms of buying power from the last time it was adjusted. And so just think about that for a second, what people are getting paid when they go to work as far as a minimum wage goes, and anybody's ability to make ends meet and not go on Medicaid and access for health care and not require various forms of welfare and not be able to have health insurance, things that we all pay for anyway. And I always wonder why people don't kind of frame it in that way. That's how I look at it. You think about, well, you know, we don't want to have health care for everybody, or, you know, well, Medicare works pretty good, right? I mean, everybody I know loves Medicare, loves it.
I know. Jim Russell sat right here and told me, wait till you get on Medicare, you're going to love it.
Yep.
He actually told me that.
But it's true.
Yeah.
You know, physicians, some of them don't care for it because it reduces, you know, their income.
Sure.
So I guess there's a group that doesn't, understandably. But from the public's perspective, and I just bring that up because if the system as it is now, you know, I had a lady in my office this morning, 64. $1,603 a month for her health insurance, just her.
Wow.
And you don't think she's looking forward to Medicare? When that goes down by $1,400 a month, I mean, unbelievable. And as I point out, if you don't think that that $1,600 a month, that's not obviously for her care. It's for her care and the 50% of the people who rotate through an emergency room who don't have health insurance.
Absolutely.
That, you know, half that. That money has to come from somewhere. And so it all goes into that same pot. And so when you're talking about how the minimum wage works, it's employers are still paying those costs in some ways that aren't as direct. And they talk about how, was it 30 years ago, the average CEO made 35 times the average worker. And it is now literally about 350 times the average worker. You know, I was talking to somebody the other day because I think Dak Prescott just got from the Dallas Cowboys, you know, quarterback, just got a 4-year, $160 million contract.
Well, he's lucky Russell Wilson didn't get it.
But the point being that
his
people
job,
are like,
I mean,
always talking about how these athletes are so ridiculously overpaid. And it's like, well, for what they do, yeah. But how capitalism works, everybody, is if you're the person that generates X amount of revenue for a corporation, i.e. a football team, Dallas Cowboys being one of the most lucrative franchises
in the world.
In the world.
With Manchester United, you bet.
With the soccer teams,
and the Yankees,
which are way bigger, and
the
Yankees. So it's the $160 million is not
right.
Based upon that, it's based upon the revenue that Jerry Jones gets as the owner of the Cowboys. A CEO, the question is, well, are they worth, you know, 30, 40 million? They were just focusing on one that just, you know, gave up his salary of 2.6 million, even though they laid off something like 13,000 workers. And he said, I'm going to be a part of the solution. And I'm not going to take my salary. And then all cashed in $24 million in free stock benefits for that, just for the year, and that kind of thing. So the minimum wage, as far as how it affects this country, how it affects on healthcare, and how it affects poverty, welfare, government subsidy, all that, it is all very much tied together. And the ability for people who aren't already on the government, public work service workers, police, fire, etc., or private business, or doing well, or inheriting money, or whatever, the majority of this country, you know, trying to work for a living in a day-to-day job, it's not easy in everywhere across this country. And that's where that argument is coming from of, why don't we just get things up to where it was on average when people think of the good old days. We got to take our last break of the hour, I think it is.
Well, something tells me if Brian Springberg could play quarterback, he'd get that money too. You wouldn't turn it down, would you?
If Coach would have put me in, I'd clear over that mountain.
There you go. Thanks, Uncle Rico. All right, I'm Paul Lavoie. Speak Out World return in a moment. Here's some Andy Gibb, a song written by his brothers, and they sing on it also.
The Pretty Boy Young One.
Yeah, this is the kind of music you absolutely love, Brian. Me too.
I don't know. Okay.
Actually, my little sister had an Andy Gibb poster on her wall as a kid. How old I am.
Not me.
All right,
mine was Jacqueline Smith.
Back with more in a moment. Mine was Cheryl Teagues.
Yeah, that too.
All right, back with more in a moment.
The views expressed on Speak Out are not necessarily the opinion of KNTR Talk 106.3 FM and should not be construed directly or indirectly as an offer to buy or sell any securities that would be mentioned therein. Investing is subject to risk involving loss of principal invested. Past performance is not a guarantee of future results. No strategy can assure a profit nor protect against loss. Please note that individual situations may vary, therefore the information should be relied upon when coordinated with individual professional advice. Securities and investment advisory services offered through SagePoint Financial, member of FINRA, SIPC. SagePoint Financial is separately owned, and other entities or marketing names, products, or services referenced in here are independent of SagePoint Financial.
Lonely nights. Where would I be without my woman? And we're back on Speak Out. Welcome back to Sound Advice with Brian Springberg. And looks like you got a little under, a little over 5 minutes. So take her away, Brian.
Take her away.
On this 3:11.
So, you're so mean.
I know.
One of the changes that's nice too, by the way, if you are a little bit older and still working, it used to be that once you were 70 and a half years old, you couldn't contribute to your IRA, even if you were working. Well, that has changed. And so if you are 70 and a half, or older, actually, it doesn't matter how old you are. As long as you have earned income or your spouse does, you can contribute to your IRAs as long as you qualify based upon some of the other income restrictions I was explaining at the beginning of the show. Now, that would mostly be for the tax benefit, because if you're pushing that age, putting away money for your future, someone needs to tap you on the shoulder and say, hey, man, the future is now.
Right.
You are. It's upon you. But if you're looking to pass it on to the, you know, the next generation, or you just need a, you don't need the money and you're just looking for putting more in your pocket and less than Uncle Sam's, then that certainly, can be a driver as well. Something I didn't know, because of the pandemic, the stimulus law, lets individuals claim uninsured casualty losses from federally declared disasters that occurred in 2020, also for 2019. So 2020's losses can be claimed on 2019 or 2020 returns, so if you qualify for that kind
of
thing.
That might apply to our friends in California with the wildfires, for example.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, for sure.
For what they went through, too. And then there's plenty of other things. I'm trying to remember what happened, but I mean, all over the country.
It's a crazy year.
Crazy. Well, it's been several years, obviously, you know, severe weather everywhere. Hawaii just absolutely getting demolished with rain over the last couple of days. I don't know if you saw any of that footage, but holy smokes. You know, and it rains a lot in Hawaii.
It does so, after October, during a certain time, the rainy time season.
But when they're like, worst flooding in 25 years, I don't know what that, I think I read 17 inches in 24 hours on like part of Maui or something like that. So, again, gotta love Mojave County.
We should have played the Who, rain on me.
I mean, we get upset because it's windy. That's typically the extent of our problems here. And Lord knows it's been that.
I've been saying for 30 years, Brian, we have two seasons, heat and wind.
Yeah.
That's our seasons right there.
Yeah, it's worked out pretty wonderfully.
Nice rainy day today, though.
So in your portfolio, you know, 2021, again, the big theme is trying to balance bond allocations with some pressure potentially coming with increasing interest rates versus a fairly historically expensive stock, U.S. stock market. Again, if you are a long-term investor, just making sure you're intelligently diversified is really where you need to focus. If you're somebody who's really thinking short-term needs, well, you really got to think through that. I know that with my clients, that is the main source of discussion that we're going through. Client this morning, you know, very nice lady and her sister, she just lost her husband a month ago, and you know, we're having these very real discussions about what now. And you know, she had a decent sized life insurance policy come her way tax free, and then some other investment accounts, and so we're talking about planning out her next, the rest of her life, and what to do. And in the end, the financial plan was, I think it's pretty well thought out, and I think we're going to be implementing it, but I wanted her to think about it, because when you go through grief, when you go through something traumatic, you don't want to make any rash decisions. And I always err on either having new clients or clients delay even making a decision with money with me, or if we do, keeping some of it liquid so that if they change their mind, they have the ability to do so in terms of what they want to do with the assets as time goes by and life kind of normalizes a little bit. But the key focuses were enough liquidity. She wanted to give some of the money to her daughters. emergency reserves for herself, guarantees on some returns, so she had complete peace of mind, a little bit of risk, but full access and extra liquidity at the rest of it, and then really building up a part of the portfolio for future income a couple years down the road. And so using a number of strategies and products to get her there and let her sleep at night was kind of the driving force. And that's how you should approach with your money, making sure there's a purpose behind everything that you do. Have a great, beautiful weekend, and be safe, and we will catch you soon here on Sound Advice and Speak Out. Thanks for listening.
Perfect. This one's from Brian DeSera, More Than a Woman by the Bee Gees. I'm Paul Lavoie, living the dream in Lake Havasu City. Stay tuned for a special edition of Speak Out 2.0 next.